So Saturday, as we talked about yesterday, you were inducted into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. Awesome event.
I understand there's been a recount and I've been thrown out.
That'd be so great, man. A recount. Sorry, Michael.
Who would go to the trouble for that?
You didn't make it.
Yeah, it hurts to miss that one.
Yeah.
After they almost forgot to induct Outlaw Dave Anderson, or what's his last name?
Andrews.
Outlaw Dave Andrews. As the lights were coming on and people were leaving before he had to rush up to the stage. Other than that, it was a perfect event. It was a wonderful, wonderful little 2.5 hour ceremony that they had. And finally, we got the actual audio of you walking up there. Now, did they tell you anything before you went up there and gave your little speech?
No, they didn't.
They didn't give you a time limit or anything?
He said at the start of the thing that we had to keep it to around 2 minutes, so I was certainly going to comply with that. I wasn't going to beat everybody down.
Right.
Try not to.
This is the thing, because you have all these guys, and think about this. You have these guys that have been in this business for 4,000 years combined. These guys were all, you know, Mike was the second youngest one to get inducted. A lot of these guys were 20 years older than him. So...
And these guys were all boss jocks, too. They had no idea who I was.
No, they didn't.
They do now.
But their speeches, since people, you know, it's not like you're going to a salesmanship or a sales convention where people get up there and speak and they're kind of fumbling over everything. These are radio pros, man. This is what they do for a living. And almost everybody to a man got up there, and you're just like, wow, that was really smooth.
Yeah. Smooth, I mean, great pipes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
these jokes. Guys knew what they were doing.
Succinct.
They were funny and told funny stories. And
what was the guy that got up there with his wife, the guy that was about 130 years old?
Was that Vandy?
Vandy Anderson? Yeah. What was his joke with his wife up there? It brought the house down.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he was like... He goes, because he seriously was way old, and he goes, I'm going to bring my first wife up here, and I have no idea if that meant he was still married to her or not.
That was his joke, I bet.
Well, and
it was better than that.
Yeah, but he was like, you know, honey, I told you 20 years ago, if you would have killed me now, you'd have been out of jail by now, or something like that.
Yeah, if you'd have killed me then, you'd be out by now.
Yeah, and I'll be good.
That's a funny joke.
It's a great joke. Speaking of jokes.
So it was Mike's turn to get up there and speak. Were you nervous at all?
Yes, I was nervous.
It is weird getting up there in front of a huge room full of people. And
full of strangers.
Yes, yeah. And I had a couple things I was going to say, and then I got up there and I just folded completely. So I just had to wing it.
Now, you'd had no notes, no nothing.
No hand notes
that were like smeared from sweat.
No. Nothing. I was winging.
In cologne?
Boy, you did smell wonderful. Was that Canoe?
It was Brute.
So here you go. Here is the Not Purple, Mino, Mike Reiner Hall of Fame acceptance speech.
Thank you. I'm blown away by this. I really am. A lot of people have come up here and said that today, and I am absolutely right there with you. A lot of people I love are here today. Renee, who was there for the heavy lifting of it all. Jordan, you're a little bit too young for most of that, but I believe you get it now. My sister, Patty, my brother-in-law, Mark, and my nephew, Drew. And also my broadcast partner, Corby Davidson, is with us today. Corby, I appreciate you taking the time to make the drive down here. I stand here today as a metaphor for everybody who has come through the ticket over the years, because what we have done is something unique, something that is different, something that had never been done before, and something nobody thought would work at the time. Yet we took the chance, we made it work, and we have deeply, deeply impacted pop culture in Dallas-Fort Worth and among our listeners in a way that most radio stations do not and just flat out cannot. But we have somehow found a way to do that due to the work and perseverance of all the great people who have come through there over the years. And I know that their day up here, is on the way, and I hope that comes sooner rather than later. Once again, I'm absolutely just floored by this honor. I never thought it would happen for me in sports. They say if you're a real Hall of Famer, then you get in the first time you show up on the ballot, and the thing that I'm just most blown away by is that that happened for me. I just can't believe it. Thank you very much.
Oh, good God.
And then he ate it down the stairs.
That was awesome.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah, it was great. You kept it under 2 minutes.
That's enough.
That is enough.
You have a guy in your ear?
Yeah,
you
had the,
yeah,
the,
I had you.
The giant hook was just kind of floating out from behind the curtain,
yes,
to reel him in.
Right.
The Oscar music starts playing.
Yes. All I could hear was you going, that's enough.
It was cool that, you know, and again, like we said yesterday, I think that each individual speech was for each table, mm-hmm, individual table that really understood, mm-hmm, that person. And so it didn't really matter that people may have known you or may not have known you. Enough people did know you, you know, to make that resonate, I think. And each guy got up there and kind of did something similar. And so I think it was good. I thought it was perfect. It was well said. You incorporated everything that probably needed to be said as far as the station and the talent and the listeners and the pop culture thing, you know. And although people were probably going, pop culture?
Huh?
What the hell do you do to influence pop culture, youngin'?
What?
Yeah, you had to be there.
Exactly.
I wanted... And if we'd have been in a place where there would have been more people who would have gotten it,
mm-hmm,
I wanted to recreate the anus with him.
Yeah, he wanted me to go up there, and we would just somehow work in the whole...
No, I wanted you to sit out in the crowd.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I would say, yeah, the anus was on me, and I wanted you to go, the anus?
The anus?
The anus?
I go, yeah,
would the have been
anus.
Awesome.
And then you go, I don't think so.
And then just move on.
Yeah.
Next man up.
And then just, you hear him go, the heinous?
Yeah.
Balls.
That's what I wanted to do. And if we'd have had a little bit different room, a more familiar room, then that might have worked. But those people would have been just hopelessly confused, and it would have ruined the day for everybody, like the little ticket has done so many times over the years.
Yes. Like now. Hey, would you guys like to hear another Dallas Cowboys joke?
Well, yeah, I'd love to.
All right. What do the Dallas Cowboys and Billy Graham have in common?
I don't know. What do the Dallas Cowboys and Billy Graham have in common?
They can both make 90,000 people stand up and yell, Jesus Christ!
Stop it with the Dallas Cowboy
no,
jokes.
No, keep them up. Keep them coming.
Stupid.